You are listening to Pure Opelka
with Mike Opelka.
Testudo, my friends. Testudo, welcome to the March 7th edition of the Pure Opelka podcast. Boy, have we got a lot to talk about, but we're 7 days into March, and this is the second nor'easter for those of us in the northeast part of the country. It's getting a little exhausting. Outside, it is like a giant Slurpee if you're trying to get around in it. I know, you can check it out on Twitter. I'll post a video of it. But we have much to talk about today. We have to talk about who's going to replace Mr. Cohen. Now that Mr. Cohen is gone, I have an idea. We'll talk about MSNBC wanting people like me to die. They believe we are crusty old white people, dinosaurs, who will die off. And then, and only then, can they confiscate the guns and get rid of the Second Amendment. That's really what they want. You'll hear it in their own words. Angie Austin, my buddy, co-hosting a couple of segments on the show today as we get set to launch a brand new show around the country. You'll hear that in a little bit. Emily Zanotti checks in, but first, I have to wag a finger at MSNBC for, let's just say, hoping that people like me just wither up and die. When it comes to cable news networks, Fox News has owned the ratings title for 16 years. 16 years and counting as number one. That's 184 months at number one since January of 2002. And last month, in February, Fox was also the number one basic cable network in primetime and in the entire day in both total viewers and the coveted 25 to 54 demographic. That's the one they sell to advertisers. This was the 20th consecutive month as the most watched basic cable network in the total day, and also doing very well the primetime audiences. You know, there was a shakeup over the past year and a half with Bill O'Reilly getting the boot and with Megyn Kelly leaving. But the primetime lineup of Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, and Shannon Bream are kicking butt. So well done, Fox. Good for you. And that's bad news for the people over at MSNBC. The people that really think that conservatives are going to dry up and blow away. Really, that's what they think. Listen to Joy Reid and one of her panelists, a guy named Kurt Bardella, talking about conservatives like you and me, people who respect the Second Amendment. They just want to see us die so they can cut out a constitutionally protected right.
At some point, does the conservative media run out of viewers? Because it is appealing to sort of an old kind of crusty, creepy, weird worldview that these young people who are a big, big cohort of the American population do not share.
Well, I think that there is some credence to the idea that at some point, just the process of evolution, some of these viewers, they are going to thankfully die off, and that'll be the end of that.
An old, crusty, creepy, kind of weird worldview. That's how you and I are seen in the eyes of the super progressives over at MSNBC. And they just want us all to die. But if you were at CPAC about a month ago, you witnessed the youth who were there. They are not going away. And they are well-trained, well-reasoned, and eventually, MSNBC, you will meet them in some form. I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, but there is something coming up next Monday, the second Monday in the month of March. It is the launch of a brand new radio show with myself and Angie Austin. Angie has been around radio hosting a morning show, a magazine show of news, politics, entertainment, lifestyle stuff, for the past 4 years at least, and I have been her co-host for the past 8 months. Well, starting Monday, we are going to be on several radio stations around the country with something we're calling Your Day with Angie and Mike. So we hope you will start your day or spend time in the middle of your day with Angie and Mike. And you'll recognize some of the voices like Emily Zanotti, Billy Halliwell. Let me give you a little sample of what you might have heard if today were Monday. This was on a Denver radio station, one of our flagships.
Angie Austin and Mike Opelka, your radio vitamins. Don't miss a day.
Angie Austin, Mike Opelka here on a beautiful day in Colorado. Hi, Mike.
Oh, yeah, thanks for rubbing in the weather. We're under Superstorm Snowbomb Quinn here on the eastern side of the country.
Yes.
And planes canceled, flights, dogs and cats living together, total mass hysteria. Yes, thank you, Andy.
Yes, another winter storm right after the first one, right after Riley, Winter Storm Riley, we have another hitting the Northeast. Well over 1,000 flights canceled. Now, a couple of other big headlines. California being sued by the Trump administration over its sanctuary policies, and Wall Street down but regaining losses following the resignation of President Trump's chief economic advisor.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy time, and I know we're not supposed to say there's a little chaos in the White House, but let's just say it. There's been a 43% turnover on the top level, and Cohen's departure is the latest. But this is the one that's had probably the biggest effect on world markets and the stock markets, and I guess we should wait and see who gets nominated to replace Mr. Cohen. And I believe it's going to be Larry Kudlow, the guy who is one of the smartest guys in the world of finance. And I know he's a friend of the president. So put that in your little book.
Okay.
Now, in terms of account, write that down. Kudlow, Mike.
Yes.
Predict.
I thought it was Larry Kudler. I'd like it better if it was Larry Kudler. I like that name, but I'll go with Kudlow.
Well, Kudlow, he might be a cuddler. I don't know.
I love that word. My kids, you know, we have a cuddle chair, the snuggle chair. So I don't know. It just makes me happy, just the whole idea. And I don't want to cuddle anyone who's in the world of finance because for some reason they don't seem cuddly to me. But I do want to touch on a topic that I know is not the biggest news headline of the day. But to me, this is a big deal. You know that I had a brother who was mentally ill. And I feel like mental illness is a topic that oftentimes gets swept under the carpet when it refers to men, because men think that it's a sign of weakness to talk about mental illness. And if someone had cancer, we go visit them with flowers and some candy. And if they have schizophrenia like my brother did, then, oh, they're crazy. You know, there's more judgment. And it's ridiculous. It's an illness. Well, Cleveland Cavaliers star Kevin Love, as you know, he is opening up big time about his struggle with mental illness. And to me, this is one of the biggest headlines of the day, because he said he's battled panic attacks, depression, and then he's got to get in front of people and he's got to have this public persona and he's got to play a big time game, Mike.
This is a powerful story, and it's a story that I just don't think Kevin Love even understands how big it is. He posted this story, his own personal story, on the PlayersTribune.com, which is this kind of new direct-to-the-fans outlet that the NBA has put together. And he tells his story of his panic attack and his struggles with his own mental health. And one of the lines in it, so powerful, he talked about it coming out of nowhere. I'd never had one before. I didn't even know if they were real, but it was real as a broken hand or a sprained ankle. And since that day, almost everything about the way I think about my mental health has changed. Angie, listen to Kevin Love in his own words talk about his decision to get help.
Call it a stigma or call it a fear or insecurity, but what I was worried about wasn't just my own inner struggles, but how difficult it was to talk about them. I remember when I was 2 or 3 years in the league, I never heard of a pro athlete talking about mental health, and I didn't want to be the only one. I didn't want to look weak. Honestly, I just didn't think I needed it. But it's kind of strange when you think about it. In the NBA, you have trained professionals to fine-tune your life in so many areas. But none of those people could help me in the way I needed when I was lying on the floor struggling to breathe. I'm just starting to do the hard work of getting to know myself. For 29 years, I've avoided that. So I did one seemingly little thing that turned out to be a big thing. The Cavs helped me find a therapist, and I set up an appointment.
That is powerful.
Powerful because he is a macho man who is respected by many, and he is opening the door to talk about mental illness and take the stigma away from it.
And if you read this whole thing, here's a guy who's not yet 30 years old. Here's a gentleman who is in the elite level of athletes in our world, probably known internationally. And yet he is so fragile that at any one moment, and he experienced this moment last fall in a game coming out of a player's huddle in a timeout, he was frozen. He could not go back on the court. And it just shows you that it is everywhere. The battle that somebody is facing is so close to us that we often overlook it. And the headline, this is what really gut punched me. The headline, everyone is going through something. It's really, I'm touched by it, if you couldn't tell.
Are you crying?
Just a little.
I have to tell you that everybody's joking at work that you make me cry, okay? But I make you cry sometimes, too. I mean, here's the thing. This is touching. This man helping others. I believe that him speaking out like this will give other men in particular, but other people, courage to come forward with their own issues. Now, I'm going to throw you out of your tears
Real
quickly. I'm going to give a couple of our headlines coming up because they're doozies, and I just want a comment from you.
Good.
Coming up, Oprah Winfrey hears from God.
What, did she see him at the house? I got a feeling they both have the same keys.
Stormy Daniels suing Donald Trump, or suing over Donald Trump NDA.
Stormy Daniels, the adult film star. Okay, please. Can we get her to go away?
A church giving away free salvation in a car.
You get saved, and you get saved, and you get saved. Amen, sister.
So that's a little sample. I hope you liked it. I hope you will search for us. You will be able to get us in Denver, in Tampa, I believe Seattle, Tacoma, a handful of other affiliates, and maybe more to be announced each week. And I mentioned Emily Zanotti, our friend from The Daily Wire. Emily joined us this morning as we talked about a couple of different topics. Specifically, the one I wanted to ask her about was the legality behind the claims from Stormy Daniels. Could she actually stand up in court and say, this non-disclosure agreement is invalid because Donald Trump didn't sign it? Here's our interaction with our buddy, lawyer Emily Zanotti from thedailywire.com.
I met her through you. Emily Zanotti, political hottie. That's what I call her.
Emily Zanotti, political hottie. You know, you would think that would be like a sexist thing I would have said, but I think of Emily's, when I hear Emily Zanotti, I immediately think someone's making a great Italian meal because it's like, try the Zanotti. It's fresh today.
Oh, it's so good.
And Emily Zanotti is fresh every day from our friend from The Daily Wire. How are you, Emily?
I'm doing well. I'm also a pretty good Italian cook, so... Yeah, you got it. You got it right.
Okay, I did. Well, you've got some stories. The one that I wanted to dive into first, one of the items on the Daily Mail, relates to the biggest story breaking since last night, and that is around this porn actress lady who is suing the president over some NDA she signed. What's the latest on Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels says she's suing President Trump and a number of other people because she actually had a non-disclosure agreement as part of taking the $130,000 payout from President Trump's lawyer just around the time of the presidential election. Now, she says because Donald Trump didn't sign the non-disclosure agreement, she's not bound, but she doesn't want to just come out and say, you know, talk about the affair that she had with Donald Trump. She actually wants to sue and find out in a court of law whether she's able to start talking because the non-disclosure agreement isn't valid. Now, the question is, she did take that check from Donald Trump and she did cash it. So there's already some movement and indication that she abided by the agreement. So I don't know exactly how successful this lawsuit is really going to be, but the point is, we're going to go to court and find out whether Stormy Daniels had an affair with Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. Okay. You allegedly let the now president at one time chase you around, Stormy Daniels, in his tidy whities. You are known to be an adult actress. You are doing things of a sexual manner every day to make a living. Since your name has been in the headlines associated with Donald Trump, you've made a dump truck full of cash on your illicit, you know, naughty movies. You've gone on a tour around the country saying, let's make America, I'm going to use another word, thorny again, because I don't want to say that word on the air. Okay, so she's got the little red hat, and she's kind of, you know, making money off of making America again, wearing a goofy red hat, trying to, you know, again, ride the coattails of the president in a, sexy manner to make money. Just shut up, Stormy Daniels. You made your money. You take off your clothes every day to make some dough. And now all this lawsuit is about is to keep her name in the press so she can make more monies off her adult films, so she can get bigger contracts for adult films. The whole thing makes me want to go take a shower right now. I feel dirty just talking about it. It's dirty.
Well, my question,
it's pretty disgusting.
My question, Emily, just quickly, as you're the attorney in this conversation, if two people make an agreement, if I give you a piece of paper and say, sign this, and you sign it, if I haven't signed it at that time, but I could sign it now, is then that agreement binding?
Not technically, but the question is going to be what she did at the time. So if she accepted the check as a result of the non-disclosure agreement, she cashed the check and she took steps that indicated she believed the non-disclosure agreement was in effect, then she doesn't really have a case. It's a question of what exactly happened at the time, and whether Donald Trump was even required to sign the non-disclosure agreement. At this point, we know that the attorneys sort of constructed this agreement with Stormy Daniels all on his own, and now she's using that to garner publicity. He may have gotten repaid by somebody at some point, but it may not really even matter. It may only matter if the person executing the agreement actually signed the paper. So I don't see this as being something much more than what Angie said. It's a way of keeping Stormy Daniels in the headlines for another week or so.
It's working, unfortunately. Angie, what was that other story you wanted to hit? The one about the dating app, I think?
Dating apps. I'm fascinated by this. You know, I was single in the day when you actually, there was the online dating. And so I did a little bit of that. And it was a Christian online dating website that I did in Los Angeles, which was the weirdest place of all to be a single Christian.
I can imagine. And now there's a dating app that won't allow you to have a gun in your profile picture?
Yeah, it's actually Bumble, which came about because Tinder, which is a dating app, like an in real time dating app, you're like with the people kind of in the room or nearby, and you swipe left if you want to get rid of them, swipe right if you want to hang out with them. Bumble developed so that people would be less about hookups and more about relationships. But now Bumble says if you're posing with a rifle or any kind of weapon in your profile photos, they will actually take those down because you're making the rest of the Bumble community feel unsafe.
You know what this means? This is going to spark, and I know we've only got like 30 seconds left here, Ange. This is going to spark yet another dating app just for gun owners.
There's a dating app just for farmers, so I'm sure they could have a dating app for hunters.
Why not? It's probably out there right now. Emily Zanotti, our friend, and Angie Austin, my co-host on this show, Your Day with Angie and Mike. I will have more details on it, but we have some other topics we need to approach as well. Tuesday night was Oprah Winfrey night on Stephen Colbert's Late Show. I don't know if you caught it, but Oprah participated in a little bit of the Colbert shenanigans and actually had a conversation with God, you know, because she has said that she won't decide on a run for the White House unless God tells her to do it. Well, last night, God kind of did tell her. Here's how they set it up.
One of the things that, as we were saying before the break, is that there are a lot of people out there who would like to see you be president of the United States, or at least run to be president of the United States.
I feel humbled and honored by that. It just isn't something I would. I've said this before. I would know it. I mean, it would be, you know, everybody's saying it. I am very much in touch with my inner GPS, mm-hmm. the voice. I'm in touch with God.
Yeah.
The voice of God.
In fact, you said in, again, People Magazine, if I have this quote right, you said, if God, if you think I'm supposed to run, you got to tell me. And it has to be so clear.
So clear, even
that
I.
Not even I can miss it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So have you had any signs at all?
Not one.
Really? Not even the people like tweeting or texting or the cheering?
But
none of that
that's
is a sign?
Different, you know, that those are all people outside you. You know what that is. If 1,000 people tell you to do something, but you don't feel it inside yourself. Mm-hmm. Or if 1,000 people say, oh, that looks good on you, girl, and you know it doesn't. Or 10 people say it, yeah. You know, it doesn't. So, no, I haven't.
Okay. Well, okay. I guess that settles it.
Of course,
it.
That settled nothing because seconds later, this happened.
I guess that settles it.
Yeah.
No Oprah.
Oprah, Stephen, what's up? Hey.
Oh, hey. Hey, God, it's God, everybody. Give it up for the Lord.
Hey, everybody. I just spit out my
I'm
gum.
I'm sorry about this, Oprah. I apologize. God stops by every once in a while. He's a fan.
So a comedic bit, a bearded guy in a projection in the ceiling at the Late Show is portraying God and talking to Oprah.
Can I help you, Lord? I'm kind of in the middle of talking to somebody important.
Oh, I know, Stephen. I'm a huge fan.
That's great to hear. I'm a big fan of yours, too, God. I really am.
Wow. Oprah knows who I am? I can't wait to tell Jesus. I'm going to look so cool.
Now, God, I don't mean to hurry you along, but is there, you know, something you'd like to tell Oprah?
Oh, yeah. I hear thou seekest a sign. Well, is this clear enough?
So God holds up a sign that says run. Oprah says, well, I've added running to my health regimen. And then God puts on an Oprah 2020 hat and holds up a run, Oprah run for presidency. Yeah, it's a big sketch. And then at the end, Oprah delivered a little more serious message.
Okay, Lord, let me just say this to you. It's not something I've ever seen myself doing. It's not the kind of job that you can have without fully devoting yourself to it 100%.
Not really. Have you seen this White House?
He's got a point. He's got a point.
Okay, that was kind of low-hanging fruit, but, you know, I guess worth the shot.
God, take it from me, Oprah. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay, and I'm sure you're going to find someone that you are just inspired by in 2020.
Thanks, Oprah. Look, before I let you go, any chance you could get the Bible into your book club? Hmm?
I'll work on that. I'll work on that.
God, everybody.
Thanks,
Thank
Oprah.
You, Lord.
I know. Many on the left are really hoping Oprah will step up and run, and she's got about a year and a half to 2 years to give it serious thought. I still think there is a healthy shot. And if it happens, I think she gets the nomination. Look at what's happened in just recent weeks with the Democrats pushing away from Dianne Feinstein, pushing away from Chuck Schumer, pushing away from Nancy Pelosi. The old guard is in serious trouble. A new outsider could really set the Democrats up for a big push in 2020. I just hope it's not Oprah, because I think she'd be really tough to beat. We are going to check in on the history file in just a second, but I would like to invite you to follow me on Twitter at StuntBrain, specifically to look at the Cycle of Freedom that was posted just early this morning. The Cycle of Freedom sent by another Twitter fan, someone named Donna. Thank you, Donna. It is an amazing graphic that shows you how we got here. Because everybody says, wait a minute, we fought so hard for the freedom and liberty that we enjoy. And now we're headed to a massive government dependency. How did we get here? The cycle of freedom is what you need to check out. It's on my Twitter account. Now, in terms of history, on this history file, on this day back in the day, 1876, March 7th, Alexander Graham Bell got the patent for the telephone. Changed everything, didn't it? On this day in 1965, Bloody Sunday happened here in America, in Alabama, as a peaceful civil rights march from Selma, Alabama, was crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and cops with billy clubs and tear gas attacked the marchers. And they had dogs, too. They turned them all loose on the civil rights marchers. It's not that long ago that we actually had this kind of unrest in the country. And I thought we had solved it, but now we're trying to divide ourselves again. Also on this date in 1987, boxer Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was just 20 years old, and he unified the titles, the WBA and WBC titles, after he knocked out James Bone Crusher Smith. I guess when you're Bone Crusher and you get knocked out, a little bit of irony there. That's this day in history. How about a word of the day? Today's word of the day, a terrific word of the day, a noun. A noun I have never heard being used before. It is wool gathering. All one word, not two words. Wool gathering. Wool gathering was from a literal reference to the act of gathering loose tufts of wool that had gotten caught on bushes and fences when sheep passed by. And if you can kind of wrap your head around it, wool gathering, not exactly a real profitable enterprise. So people who were wool gatherers appeared to be wandering aimlessly about the countryside and not making much money for their efforts. This first appeared in the middle of the 16th century, and people used the phrase wool gathering. My wits went a wool gathering, which meant, in other words, my mind was wandering aimlessly. Wool gathering. Now, I guarantee if you use the phrase wool gathering today, you will get stares. But try and use it three times today, and the word will be yours for life. Wool gathering. Today's Pure Opelka word of the day. Don't forget to check out Angie and Mike on your day, and I will give you more updates on stations in your area as we get closer to launch next Monday. Till next time, testudo, my friends, testudo.